Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hi, welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Lisa McNeely. My pronouns are she and her, and I'm your host for Spotlight on Recruiting. Our show today, How to Get Your Candidate to Yes. We're going to be discussing how to keep candidates engaged from their first contact to accepted offer. And I'm very excited to welcome Leslie Dagnalt to the show today. Hi, Leslie. How are you?
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you here. So let me give some background on Leslie because, you know, and I think I say this every show, how amazing my guests are. I'm just privileged, I guess, to be able to just work with such amazing people all of the time. And Leslie is also, she's one of those amazing people. So she has over 20 years recruiting experience. She actually began her career working for the Federal Bureau of Prisons, which we've never talked about that before. So that's something that offline we're going to talk about. But then she went on to American Express, where she was there for 10 years. Six of those doing campus recruiting. After doing the American Express and campus recruiting, she chose to work on an independent basis and has spent the last 15 years working across all industries, doing multiple levels, different types of positions, high volume to niche job searches. And she's just honestly really amazing. And for me, it's always been a privilege to be able to work with her. So today, we're discussing how to keep candidates engaged from first contact to accepted offer. So, Leslie, my first question for you is, what is the biggest challenge that you and your hiring leaders are facing when it comes to candidate engagements?
Hi, Lisa. Yes. Well, before we jump in, I want to say it has been a privilege to work with Lisa all of these years as well and stay in touch. And thanks for having me on today. I'm by no means like the be-all, end-all expert on recruiting, but I do have a lot of valuable experience, and I love what I do, and I love sharing that with you, Lisa, and, you know, some of the other great colleagues that we've worked with over the years. But I would say, you know, the biggest challenge right now, first of all, for everyone is getting candidates in the door one way or the other. And would you agree with that, Lisa?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, because it is, you know, and I think things are, you know, I'm not even going to say the word, but, you know, there with the economy, there's some things that are kind of shifting here in the U.S. And I would imagine, you know, and I imagine that also internationally we're seeing it as well. But it is a candidate's market. Finding really great candidates can be a struggle, especially for, you know, some of those niche jobs. And I think with the loom of recession, I think you have two things that are going to happen, or what I've seen in the past, and Leslie, I mean, because you've been in recruiting this long, that we've gone through a recession, unfortunately, a couple of times, is initially what you'll see is people will kind of see some writing on the wall of possible layoffs or things coming. So they jump ship really soon. So you're going to start to see some really great candidates in the beginning. But then also you get that fear factor starts to set in, and then people are fearful of actually moving, because typically when layoffs or things happen, it's kind of like, you know, last in, first out. No matter how amazing you are, it's based on tenure. And so it's a kind of dynamic, I think, that we're going to see as far as, like, candidates who are applying for jobs and things. And, right. And you can tell me if you think that's if that's what you've seen in the past, or, you know, if you think that's accurate
right.
assumption on my end.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think, you know, our role as recruiters is kind of, well, we can get into it, but, you know, with, we're looking at either passive or active candidates. And so, you know, passive candidates, of course, are those that are not looking to jump ship or make a move. They're content in their current role. And I spend a lot of time searching for those candidates in my work. And then we have the active candidates. Those are that are actively searching. And, you know, as we do that, I think it's important that we're really engaging the candidates and leading with the end game in our minds, so that we really ask a lot of questions up front to our candidates, and with a focus on what recruiting really is, and sort of we're finding them, we're screening them, we're hiring them, and then we're onboarding them. So all of those things really are important. And so just taking, you know, taking the time to really empower the candidates to define their wants and their needs and what success really look like for them.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I think it's something that is easily forgotten, especially with active candidates, right? Because the active candidates are the ones who are actually like applying for your position. And for passives, it's certainly something that's top of mind for a recruiter, because you're tapping them on the shoulder, trying to get them very interested in their role. But with mm-hmm. active candidates, a lot of times, you know, you're making the assumptions that, you know, they've seen the position, they're already interested, which they are because they've applied. But at the same point, they may not have, they still have other jobs that they're applying for. And they also mm-hmm. have needs and things that need to be met. And so it is making sure that, you know, you're asking the right questions. And really, like you said, trying to find out, like, what is their need, right? Because it's not always about salary. It's not always about, it, you know, sometimes it's the challenge of the role. Sometimes it's, you know, they're looking for something that where they can learn and grow, and it's a global aspect. There's just like, you know, or maybe it's like they're relocating. I mean, it could be just mm-hmm. so many different reasons and so many different needs, benefits. I mean, and so it's asking the right questions. And I think you had said it before. It's like, you know, really, like, what are you looking for? What are your expectations?
Yeah.
What's going to make you, you know, make this move? What do you need to make this move? That's probably a better way to put that. I love the term, like, you're empowering candidates. So, you know, with that, I guess the next thing that, you know, we could talk about is, you know, as far as being able to answer those questions. And mm-hmm. I think one of those things is what we call in recruitment is an intake call. I don't know, most recruiters are going to know what that is. Some hiring leaders may know what that is. It's also could be called an intake call or a strategy call. But basically what this is it's a meeting that you have with, you know, your hiring leader, your business owner, to really talk about what is important about this role, for a recruiter to learn really the information about the role, what we're looking for, and then kind of walk through what the recruiting process would be. But I think what I want to talk about is the importance of this call and the type of questions that you're asking during this call so that you can make sure that you're engaging those candidates correctly. Not correctly, that's a bad term. That you're engaging these candidates to keep them interested. That would probably be a better way to frame that. But before we go to that, I want to take a minute because we do want to take a moment and recognize one of our sponsors. So don't go away, because when we're going to come back, we're going to talk about the questions Leslie's asking in those intake and strategy calls. So don't go away. So Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, Microsoft. The Microsoft mission is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. Microsoft believes technology is a powerful force for good and are working to foster a sustainable future where everyone has access to the benefits and opportunities created by technology. Microsoft believes technology can and should be a powerful force for good, and that meaningful innovation can and will contribute to a brighter world in big and small ways. Thank you for your support, Microsoft, and to all our sponsors and partners. So we're back with Leslie Dagnalt discussing how to get candidates to yes and how to keep your candidate engaged from first contact to accepted offer. Where we left off, we were kind of talking about the strategy or intake call. And so I wanted to find out from you, like when you're doing your those calls, what are some of the key questions that you're asking your hiring leaders so that you can prepare yourself? One, if you're talking to passive candidates, to make them interested in the role. Mm-hmm. And then two, for your active candidates, same thing, to keep them engaged and want to stay in the process.
Yes, yes. Well, I think that, you know, it's really important to talk to these leaders, our hiring leaders, and have these intake calls, as you said, and learn about their teams. I think it's important to kind of ask up front what are the gaps that they might have on their team, and what kind of what would help to really round out their team and balance the skill set on the team. I always feel like that's something really important to get to know about a hiring leader and their team. As you're screening and looking at candidates, there might just be that one niche skill that they wish they really had on their team and that would help round out the whole team. And you may not be thinking of that if you didn't have an intake call or conversation with the leader. So our roles are, you know, as a recruiter, are important in that way to kind of take that time with the leader and really get to know them and think of it as a relationship going forward. And you're helping them grow their team, the dream team, whatever that may look like for them. And then also, like for the candidates, it's important that we ask these questions so we can share as much information with the candidates as they're going through the process as possible, because, you know, we're equally acting as a conduit, as a, being the recruiter for both the hiring manager creating their dream team and for, like, the candidate taking their next steps into whatever dream they have, whether it's spending more time with their family so they're looking for flexibility or growth, more money or more challenge, whatever it may be. So that's one important question. Other questions would be like, what is your team like? What's the culture like? You know, share some of your key priorities for the year ahead, what you're really looking to build out on your team. The list kind of goes on. I don't know, Lisa, is there any others you can think of that you would add to that?
Yeah, so I think that you're right. I mean, I think that I like that, you know, when you're talking about, like, gaps in your team and, you know, what they're looking for, culture, definitely I think every candidate I speak with is always asking me, like, what's kind of the culture of the team. And I don't want to go, I'm going to go a direction and we're not going to go this way. But I think one of the things that, you know, I always want to, you know, talk with when we're talking about, like, what are you looking for here on your team and where are the gaps, you know, usually diversity, equity, and inclusion will come up. And one of the things that I like to tell my leaders is, especially because a lot of times it's, you know, we want to think of culture add, right? Versus culture fit, because a lot of times you will get that when you're talking to the leaders, because you'll say, you know, can you tell me about your culture? And, you know, obviously we want, you know, if they're a collaborative group, they want it, you know, someone who's a team player and they want, you know, collaboration, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that this person needs to be an extrovert. They need to be someone who can be collaborative. We don't need someone who is, hey, if we're going to go to happy hour, they're going to join us. And so I think there's definitely, it's a partnership, right? And we've had a, Mary Peterson was on the show with us, and we had kind of talked about, like, you know, diversity and inclusion and some of the things around that. So I think that, you know, asking the culture question is so important, but also making sure that it's, hey, as we talk about culture, we're trying to find out, like, you know, the inner workings of your team, but let's not do culture fit, let's do culture add. And then you had said, like, you know, as far as, like, key priorities, I think that's absolutely correct, because one of the things is, you know, for the candidates that I talk to is, and the leaders that I will ask is, you know, like, what are the top three selling points of this, of the position and the company? And that, I use those three things not only when I'm talking to candidates, but also in my engagement, my email series that go out to my passive candidates. And so I think it's a good question to ask. You had already said, like, you know, what are the key priorities? I will also ask, you know, what does success look like a year from now? Because I know that, you know, my candidates will sometimes ask, like, well, what's the goal of this position? What's the goal of this team? And again, this information, everything that you get, you're thinking, you know, for me, it's like, what does my candidate want to know? What are my candidates always asking? And that's kind of how I've kind of structured my intake calls around that. You know, like, what's the growth potential for someone in this position? You know, what's the growth potential of the organization?
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's also a great time for us to really be able to hone in on how this candidate can shine. And I think that's always going to end up in a good match, hopefully, if the skill set, you know, is something that can really shine and come to life on the team.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the other questions that I ask, and I had actually learned this from another recruiter, so I can't say that I came up with this on my own, but is to ask the hiring leader to define their management style. Because some of that, right, and some, because sometimes, and I will get asked this, not all the time by candidates, but a lot of times I will get asked by candidates kind of when they're talking about the culture or the team, and, you know, I'll get asked the question of, you know, what is the leadership style? And I think as you're doing recruitment, you know, they're, you know, you will have some leaders, for example, that may be very highly demanding. And they do have a, I don't want to say 24/7, you know, work life, but there is some times where, you know what I mean? So I'm saying, you know, I guess depending on what the role is, it, you know, and I, like, I'm working on a communications role right now, and, you know, and they're dealing with the media, and, like, news never stops. So it's one of those where, you know, it's probably not going to be an 8-to-5 job. There will probably be some weekend works, especially if there's, you know, something, you know, really exciting or something going on. And I think it's being able to communicate that to your candidate. Not only does that, and it kind of leads me to, like, the realistic job preview, right? And I think that helps with engagement, but also the tenure of that candidate, because the worst thing that for a recruiter that can happen is that, you know, you hire a candidate and 3 months in they quit. So I think part of the conversation that you're having with your leaders during the intake call is to get all of this information so that, you know, because as a recruiter, I mean, and I've done this in the past for some of the roles that I've had, like a high volume position, I actually went down and I sat with the customer service team and just sat, you know, sat on a call for like 30 minutes. Just to get like an idea of the type of calls they were getting, asking, you know, the customer service representatives some questions, but just getting a feel for the environment, you know, and I think for some of those higher level jobs, then it's, you know, it comes down to, you know, what's a day in the life? What does it look like? And being able to give that information to the candidate. So, you know, with all of that, like I just like unpacked a whole lot of information there. but for you, I guess, so what are your watch outs, Leslie? What is some of the things that you see, you know, that other recruiters maybe or hiring leaders, you know, something that, you know, to be aware of, where, you know, people may you know, have a misstep because they've just, you know, what is the watch out?
Yeah. I guess I would say one watch out is we're all sort of under the pressure to provide results. And sometimes we can find ourselves, you know, scrambling or rushing through things to drive those results. And I guess I would say one caution would be just, you know, try to take a few minutes and spend that extra couple of minutes with a candidate because you are really representing the company brand while you're speaking with them. And every interaction that they have with you leading up to the point where they may accept an offer, you're representing the company that they're coming into. So just, you know, trying to really be patient, answer all the questions that they need answered to feel like they're making an informed and good decision for themselves and their families, or and also for the hiring leader to make sure that we're really getting to know that candidate so that we can determine if that's going to be a good fit for the hiring leader and their team. That's one thing I would say.
Yeah, no, I think that that's really important, especially like the representing of company brand, because especially, you know, when you're, because if you're an in-house recruiter, like you're working for a company, absolutely you're representing the brand, but also even as like an independent, like yourself, you know, when you're doing independent recruiting or contact recruiting, you're still representing that mm-hmm. brand. And I think, you know, it kind of, it's the candidate experience. And I think your engagement is highly correlated with what your, the candidate experience is. And one of those things I think for, you know, that I hear is that timely and continuous communication. And for mm-hmm. a recruiter, it can be really difficult because sometimes, you know, right. Your hiring leaders, like they're doing another job. This is their, they are hiring and the hiring is important for them, but they're also working on something else at the same time. And so sometimes
right.
we're not getting that feedback. Like, you know, you may have a candidate who interviews, you know, with your leader and, mm-hmm. you know, your leader's not providing that, you know, instant feedback on it. And so it's sometimes, you know, unfortunately for a recruiter, you've got to chase some of that information sometimes. And I think there was, and as I go along that line, there was a study done by Robert Half, and they had gone and looked at, you know, what happens when companies kind of string candidates along. And I don't know if it, you know, like string candidates along is probably not a very good term, but I guess that's probably from a candidate's perspective. That's what they feel like. But they were saying, mm-hmm. you know, after an initial interview, applicants lose interest if they don't hear back within a certain time frame. So really, it after 1 week, 19% will lose interest. 2 weeks, 43% lose interest, and by 3 weeks, it's 15%.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, really, so what we're saying there is like, you know, 62% of professionals lose interest in a job if they don't hear back within 2 weeks of initial interview.
Incredible. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's what kind of goes back to that timely and continuous communication. And, mm-hmm. and you know, and I would love to say that I'm perfect in this, but I'm not. However, what I do try to tell like my candidates is I don't have the information. I have a meeting scheduled, and I will get back to you, you know, within like the next week. Or, mm-hmm. you know, usually like during my interview, because I already know that I'm not going to have the information. So I think from a candidate perspective, and if I just put myself in my own shoes, it's really, I mean, I would love to know like right away, but if you can communicate with me the expectations and what I will hear, that's better than not communicating with me at all, right?
Right. Right. And I think we often ask that question, you know, in our initial contact or phone screens with candidates, and that is, you know, are you currently interviewing with anybody else and are we going to bump into any timelines? And if so, we're asking, you know, could you please reach out to us and just let us know what your timeline is, because we want to work with you. And, you know, I also like to wrap up a call and say, you know, if you have any questions that haven't been answered at this point, just feel free to reach out to me anytime. If you haven't heard back from me and you're wondering when you're going to hear back from me, feel free to reach out. Just trying to keep them engaged throughout the process that we have to manage on our end as recruiters.
Right. No, I think that's really good, especially because really, you know, when we're talking about engagement, like, you know, from the beginning to offer, what you don't want is you don't want surprises when you're ready to go to offer. Don't want them coming back and saying, oh, I'm already interviewing with this other company, and, oh, by the way, I already have an offer in hand. Or, you know, the worst case is like they're your lead candidate, and we've all had this happen. They're your lead candidate and you're trying to get them scheduled with that last interview, and they come back and say, hey, I'm going to withdraw because I just got another offer from another company. And, you know, because our recruiting process took too long, or we didn't even know about it, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I like that as far as like, you know, especially with those active candidates, you know, are you interviewing other places? And, you know, can you let us know if you get to that stage? Because we would like to have you, you know, move along in the process, because you are, you know, a great candidate. And I think to that aspect, it kind of leads me to silver medalist candidates, which, you know, Leslie and I talked about this, like, previously on another, you know, another call, another meeting. It's those silver medalists are still really great candidates. And so when we're talking engagement of candidates, you know, your silver medalists are the ones who are coming up right to the end. And, you know, your leaders typically, you know, ideally they're going to have two candidates right there at the end to make a decision on. And you want to make sure that you're, you know, keeping engaged and having that candidate experience, even with that silver medalist, because, you know, they could end up being a hire, you know, in the near future.
Yeah. And so, I will take on to that. I just had a client that I finished working with, and they had kept they kept a list, actually, of candidates that were declined or didn't make it through the process based on, you know, a lack of – maybe they didn't have quite enough experience. And they had been maintaining this list for a number of years. So – and the recruiters didn't really have time to tackle that list, but when I came on board, I did. And that really resulted in a lot of candidates for us coming forward. So to kind of find a way to hold on to those names, track them in your system, keep an Excel spreadsheet, keep your own notes, whatever it is, but it's nice to go back to those candidates a couple years down the road.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, I like that you had said that, because I had had a show with Christy Schutz had been on the show, and Christy, you know Christy, because you've worked with Christy before. One of the things we had talked about was, you know, when you're sourcing for candidates, one of the first places you should look is your own database. You have a database of all of these really great candidates who just didn't make it right to the end. And it could have been like, you know, because you'd asked the question, like, what's going to round out your skill? So let's say, like for mine, like a communications role I'm working on, it's internal and external communications, but, you know, maybe the first 6-12 months, it's going to be heavily focused on internal. So I could have two really great candidates, but one is just heavier on the internal than the external. It's not to say the second one's not great. It's just for what our current needs are, you know, this is the candidate we're going to go with. But that silver medalist, we're probably going to have a role for them in the future. And so I love the idea of like just being able to track that in some way, and making sure that, you know, they're being treated, you know, with the respect that that all candidates deserve, whether they're silver medalists or not, they deserve that. So I know that we're almost at time. Oh my gosh, Leslie, it goes by so fast. Before we close, I want to just one last question for you. If you could give one piece of advice to a hiring leader or recruiter around candidate engagement what would that advice be?
Well, I thought I might say something else, but I'm going to just say, like, just remember the joy of the process. I mean, you're getting to choose somebody who's going to fill out your team, and, you know, the recruiter, you're helping a candidate take that next step in their life to make a new dream come true. So I think just kind of enjoy the process, and we often just, we're so under the gun with time these days, but trying to find a few moments to, you know, really enjoy the process.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. And I think that you're right. Sometimes that, you know, we're in such a rush, hurry, because every hiring leader, I'm going to say nearly, not I say every, but I will say 90% when you have that intake call and you say, so when do you need to have this person by? It's yesterday.
Right.
Right. So, exactly. So Leslie, if our listeners, if someone on the listening wants to get a hold of you, what would be the best way for them to reach out, whether, you know, they are looking for a recruiter or, you know, or they just want a piece of advice or they just want to connect with you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Sure. I they can probably just find me out on LinkedIn under Leslie Dagnalt.
Okay, very good. And Leslie's information will also be on the Connected Women of Influence's Women Lead Radio show page, so you can find information there. So I want to say that's our show for today. Leslie, thank you for being on the show and sharing your insights. You're amazing.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. It's a pleasure always. I love talking with you.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're just have such great information, and honestly, we could go on and on and on. So I want to give a special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally. You can listen to more Women Lead Radio on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. We'll be back for another Women Lead Radio show each Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. And as I say on the end of every show, go forth and hire and make me proud. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.